Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 5, Chapter 8. The sons of Sarga meet Lord Kapila Dev, text number 24. Prasanta Maya Guna Karma Lingam Anama Rupam Sarasad Vimuktam. Janano padeshaya krihita deham namamahe tvam purusham paranam. Prasanta, O completely peaceful one, maya guna, the modes of material nature, karmalingam, symptomatized by fruit of activities. Anama rupam, one who has no material name or form. Sarasat vimuktam, transcendental to the manifested and non-manifested modes of material nature. Jnana upadeshaya, for distributing transcendental knowledge as in Bhagavad Gita. Krihita deham, has assumed a form like a material body. Namamahe, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I offer my respectful obeisances. Tvam, unto you. Purusham, the Supreme Person. Puranam, the original. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O completely peaceful Lord, although material nature, free of activities, and their consequent material names and forms are your creation, you are unaffected by them. Therefore, your transcendental name is different from material names, and your form is different from material forms. You assume a form resembling a material body just to give us instructions like those of Bhagavad Gita. But actually, you are the supreme original person. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Srila Jamunacharya has recited this verse in his Strotra Ratna 43. Bhavantam eva nucharan nirantara prasanta nisheshaya nishesha manorat Tantarat Mahadurat Manoratanta Manoratantara Manoratantaraha Kadaham Ai Kantika Nitya Kinkara Praharshaya Shami Yishami Sanata Jivatam. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely purified. One shall engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master. Manorate nasati davato vahi. One who acts on the mental platform must descend to material activities. Material contamination, however, is completely absent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Prashanta, completely peaceful, free from the disturbances of material existence. The Supreme Lord has no material name or form. Only foolish think that the Lord's name and form are material. Avajananti mam uda manushintanam ashrityam. The identity of the Supreme Lord is that he is the original person. Nonetheless, those who have but a poor fund of knowledge think the Lord is formless. The Lord is formless in the material senses, but he has a transcendental form, Satchitananda Vigraha. Translation again. O completely peaceful Lord, although material nature, fruit of activities, and the consequent material names and forms of your creation, you are unaffected by them. Therefore, your transcendental name is different from material names, and your form is different from material forms. You assume a form resembling a material body just to give us instructions like those of Bhagavad Gita. But actually, you are the supreme original person, and therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. The entire Bhagavad Gita is meant to convince us that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the reservoir of all pleasure. And that only by knowing Krishna can actually one can experience things as they actually are. Otherwise, without knowing Krishna, one's experience remains on the material platform, which means we have a very limited experience. And there is different processes by which we can come to experience Krishna, such as Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, but Srimad Bhagavatam only recommends Bhakti Yoga. But since the other yogas are parts of Bhakti Yoga, they're also explained in both Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. But as Krishna says, Yomam evam samudo janati purushottama sasarvavit vijantemam sarabhavena bharata. That one who knows me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages in full devotional service. Iti guyatma shastram idam muktva maya iti guyatma shastram idam nyuktva mayanaga etam budva buddhimatsya krita kritascha varata. That this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic knowledge, that whoever knows this will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. So this is our struggle in the material world. Most people do not struggle because they're when you're already drowned, not much to struggle for. But those who are trying to swim above the material nature, it's a struggle, because we've already been convinced that there are things in the material world which are more attractive than Krishna, and therefore they keep on appearing within our minds, and we think, well, finally, welcome, you arrived, you're exactly what I was looking for. And then the intelligence says, beep, beep, it's not what you're looking for. Krishna is what you're looking for. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Okay. Try again. So since time immemorial, we've had so many desires to basically speaking, to be something that we're not, namely Krishna. Now, of course, most of us are very humble, so we'll never think that we're as good as someone who could be all-pervading. But Maya doesn't. She says, yes, you're not all-pervading. That's a fact. Because some people may think like that, especially impersonalists. They think, well, actually, I'm all-pervading. I just haven't realized it. And as I make a little bit more progress, then I'll realize I'm in everyone's heart, I'm in every atom. It just takes a little while to realize it, to remember again. So then Prabhupada gives the example that if you're actually God, then why have you forgotten? That what's the energy that's causing you to forget that you're God? It must be greater than God, because it's causing God to forget he's God. And even those who claim to be self-realized, if you ask them, well, you know, it's a little cloudy today, could you move all those clouds out of the way? We'd like to see. Maybe you can move the sun a little closer, I'm a little cold. Usually their answer is, yes, I could do it, but I just don't feel like doing it today. What about tomorrow? Well, check with me tomorrow, see if I can. Well, we've been checking with you for 5 years. You still... How much longer do we have to check with you? Or as Prabhupada said, if some claims to be God, let him show you his universal form. And when we asked Guru Maharaj, this was a little boy named Guru Maharaj, some years ago, when they asked him, one of the devotees asked him, can you show me your universal form? He said, yes, but I don't feel like it. He was actually claiming that the devotees were his greatest followers. We just didn't realize it yet. In any case, there's so much speculation, but the fact is that there is someone in everyone's heart. Otherwise, why are we all getting remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness? None of us, by our own, can supply remembrance, neither to ourselves nor to anyone else. Because otherwise, how could we forget something and then we're trying to remember it? If we were in control of what we were remembering, why is it that sometimes we forget things? And sometimes we're trying to forget something, we can't forget it. I hate him, or I hate her. I really hate her. I want to forget. She's not so bad, no, but you hate her. We can't forget. It just broken wreck. Sometimes we're trying to understand what it says in the scripture, for instance, or in anything, and we can't do it. And then suddenly it comes. The understanding comes. How is this possible if we are actually in control of our remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness? And what to speak of all living entities, including an ant or a bird, they all have the remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Someone is talking to them. Someone is telling them, here comes, like I walk around the block and there's always some birds there. As soon as they see me, they don't flock to take shelter. Here he comes, head for the trees. So who's telling them, here comes the evil man. Head for the trees, he might catch and eat one of us. So someone's in their heart telling them, you know, how to flap their wings and get into the tree. Someone's telling the ant where the sugar is and where you're going to find it. Someone's telling us we should close our eyes and go to sleep. That way we don't have to hear the philosophy and find out that there's a God. And it's not us. Because that's the worst thing, that's the worst nightmare of a materialist, is to find out that there's a God and it's not us, eternally. It doesn't matter how much money we get, how much knowledge we get, how much strength we get. It doesn't matter, we still remain the same infinitesimal soul. We don't make any progress to becoming God, no matter what we do in the material world. So in other words, this adventure to dominate the material nature is just a waste of time. But due to the fact that we're under illusion, we don't mind wasting our time. We think it's productive, wasting time. If I can accumulate some wealth or followers, if I can accumulate some prestige or fame, then I think I'm actually making progress. Although it has nothing to do with me, the soul, because I'm not even aware of myself. What to speak of anyone else being aware of myself? Therefore, all my attempts to make progress in the material world are called shravam eva hi kevalam, just a waste of time. The body may become powerful, it may become famous, but after all, it's just made out of the material nature, and it's going to disappear very shortly. And all the other powerful people, all the other famous people, like, do you know the name of the Pharaoh who's ruling over Egypt 5,000 years ago? Do you know his name? What's that? No. What's that? No one knows his name. Because he's been forgotten. Although he was thinking, I'm the top of the world, I'm ruling over so many people, and I'm enjoying my position, my prestige. But now he's no one knows where he went. No one can even remember his name. So what was the value of such an endeavor? It had no value. So our endeavor is to try to understand how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how to realize it, not just theoretically hear about it, but how to experience Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. And the whole thing is based upon hearing that we're not God, and what is the process of realizing Krishna, how to please him in such a way as that he's going to reveal himself. By the yoga endeavor for meditation, Krishna does not reveal himself. He may appear, but that doesn't mean that one is actually experiencing Krishna. Just like if we see the deities, doesn't mean that we're experiencing Krishna. Only when we have the proper attitude towards the deities that he's going to reveal himself to us. Still in the holy name, Krishna is only going to reveal himself to us if we actually have the proper attitude. Otherwise, it remains Naham Prakasha Sarivasha Yogamaya Samavrita Mudoyam Nabijanati Lokoyam Ajam Avyam, that I'm never manifested to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I'm covered by my eternal creative potency, Yogamaya. And so the deluded world knows me not, unborn and inexhaustible. So where does it all begin? What is my first consciousness I must have? Amadi vam adambid vam hingsa shantir arjavam. Our first thing is humility. Because as long as we're thinking I'm the lord of something in this material world, I'm controlling something, I'm enjoying something, then we're in competition with Krishna. Either Krishna owns it or we own it. Maybe Krishna has given us, lent it to us, and we're borrowing it. Still, it's either Krishna's or ours. And if we think it's ours, then where did Krishna go? He goes far away. So the soul is puffed up, thinking by his accumulated wealth. Idam adhyamaya labdvam imam prapsemano ritam idam asti ama asti me bhavishati punardhanam. Aso maya hatakshatra he nishe chaparanapi ishvaraham aham bogi siraham balavan suki adyo bija ravanasmi kanyosti sadri shomaya yakshe dashami modisha ityagan vimohita. So we should all remember this verse. So much wealth do I have today, and I'll gain more according to my scheme. So much is mine, and I'll get more and more. He is my enemy, and I've killed him. And my other enemies will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect. I am powerful. I am happy. I'm surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. I shall perform some sacrifice. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. But the Bhagavad Gita says, in this way the demoniac is bewildered by ignorance. So of course we may think, I'm not really so much attached as this. I'm just a little attached. So then the example is the cucumber. Chora means thief. Chora means diamond. And chora means cucumber. So whether you steal a diamond or you steal a cucumber, one is still a thief. So we're claiming, I'm a nice person, I'm a devotee, I only steal cucumbers. I'm not stealing diamonds. Just like that example of Prabhupada was on the morning walk, and we were passing by one house. And I never went to the house, but I could see it in the distance. It was Howard Hughes's house, a mansion. And the devotees were telling Prabhupada that they'd try to go there to distribute a book to him. But he wouldn't take the devotees couldn't get to see Howard Hughes. But they gave it to the guard who said they'd give it to him. So Prabhupada said, if you could ask the devotees, if you could have seen Howard Hughes, what would you have told Howard Hughes? So one devotee said, I would have told him, we're nice people, we're doing good work, we're educating children, give us a donation, please. Another said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, etc., etc. And then Prabhupada said, well, if I would have seen him, I would have told him that my dear Howard Hughes, you've gotten all this oil from Krishna, therefore you're a thief. Give it back to Krishna or else you're going to be punished by Krishna's agents. Well, of course, we can't imitate Prabhupada. But this is Prabhupada, how he was preaching. And then one day, on a morning walk on the top of the Lotus building, which is the long building in Mayapur, that the devotees were walking along with some life members and Prabhupada on his morning walk around the Lotus building, which is quite big. And one devotee introduced one industrialist to Prabhupada and said, my dear Prabhupada, this is Mr. Patel. He's an industrialist. He would like to meet you. Mr. Patel was dressed in immaculate khadi with a narrow hat, white. And Prabhupada said, well, thank you for coming on the morning walk with us. What kind of factories do you have? You're an industrialist. So the man said, I make glass. Prabhupada said, oh, that's so nice. And where does glass come from? And the man said, it comes from sand. And Prabhupada said, where does sand come from? So the man said, it comes from Bhagavan, because he was a little pious. So Prabhupada's eyebrows raised up and said, oh, so you're stealing from Bhagavan. So the man was a little embarrassed and he disappeared for the walk. He came to the back. And then at the end of the walk, he came up to Prabhupada smiling and said, Swamiji, I just want to tell you that I give in charity. So Prabhupada smiled again, his eyebrows raised up and said, oh, so you're a little thief. And everyone, including this man, started to laugh. So in the material world, everyone has a mentality that this is mine. And sometimes they say, well, Krishna has something too. Big house for me, a little corner for Krishna, a little box for Krishna. Big feast for me, and a little glass of water every day for Krishna. So this kind of consciousness is not very conducive for Krishna to reveal himself. Krishna is God all the time. Every deity of Krishna is not different from him. And if one has the proper mentality, then Krishna will reveal himself. It is not depending upon how much scriptural knowledge we have, how much we're expert at doing cooking or whatever we're doing. It depends upon our devotional attitude. When Krishna sees we actually want to please him and willing to serve him through his representatives, then Krishna reveals himself to us. Otherwise, Krishna remains hidden. Just like I tell that story before, of Prabhupada installing Rukmini Dwarkanath in L.A. in 1969. And you can read the transcript of the lecture. I guess the lecture is there too, on tape. And Prabhupada was talking about Madan Mohan, how Sanatana Goswami was hanging him in a tree. And Madan Mohan was previously living in the house of a nice Brahmin, and the Brahmin was treating him quite well. But Sanatana Goswami at this time, because Madan Mohan came to the Brahmin in the tree and said, there will be a mendicant coming and you should give me to him. Because he's lonely, he's living by himself, and I want him to worship me. So the Brahmin, although he was very attached to Madan Mohan, he gave the next day Sanatana Goswami came doing Madhukari, begging for some rotis from the Brahmin. So the Brahmin said that last night my deity came and told me that I should give him to you and you should take care of him. Sanatana Goswami said, well, I don't have a house. I'm just living underneath a tree. I don't know if it's actually appropriate. But the Brahmin said, no, he wants to go with you. It's all right, whatever. So Sanatana Goswami was hanging Madan Mohan on a tree, one of the branches. And every day Sanatana Goswami was begging one dry roti, some massive dough thrown into a fire, half cooked, and offering that to Madan Mohan. So one day Madan Mohan became a little frustrated because he was only getting this dry roti. So he told Sanatana Goswami, he said, every day you're offering me this dry roti, half cooked, so-called bread. He said, can't you even offer me a little salt with it? At least it has some taste or something. So Sanatana Goswami said, well, I'm an old man, I can hardly move. I just go out and beg, and whatever I can beg, I offer to you. Please take it and don't complain so much. Prabhupada said, so Madan Mohan, he had to eat the dry chapati, the dry roti, because the bhakta is offering it. And then Prabhupada said, well, what is your value, and what is the value of the things that you have? It is nothing. That the real thing is bhakti, that Krishna kindly take. I have no qualification. I'm rotten and I'm fallen, but I'm offering this to you. And then Prabhupada started to cry. He said, that will do. Don't be puffed up. Remember that you're always dealing with Krishna. That is my advice. Thank you. So that attitude we have to have. Not that I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, I'm so big, I'm so this and that. No, we have to have this. Everything belongs to Krishna. And we're simply given the opportunity to do some humble some service with a humble attitude to please him. And if we do that, then Krishna will reveal himself to us and we'll become Krishna conscious gradually. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay. Kala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.